To quote a budding theologian that we heard last week, Carlos, let Rupert do it. Now, Stu rang me nearly a couple of weeks ago and said, would I cover him for the sermon? Then I arrived last Sunday and I thought, Stu, you're a pain. Because I'd figured out that I was going to preach on the Good Shepherd. So, today it's just on the Shepherd. Now, to understand this parable a bit more, you need to move out of a Kiwi way of thinking of sheep and shepherds and go back to the first century, which can be a bit difficult. But let's start with the introduction. You know, Jesus is really one of my favourite people, because he was one of the best stirrers that ever lived. He really was, right from the very beginning of this. Table fellowship for the Jews was really, really important. And it says, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. The fact that Jesus ate with them, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the ones who were in the upper classes, were horrified. But even worse than that, Jesus was welcoming them in, which means he was hosting them. And to host somebody and to give them a meal was basically saying, you're okay. I accept you. But there's one other thing here. They were regarded by the Pharisees as sinners. Now, who were the sinners in the eyes of the Pharisees? Well, the tax collectors and the immoral people were sinners. But they also had a list of jobs that were unclean, so that if you were in one of those jobs, you were a sinner. And it just so happened that being a shepherd was one of those jobs that was regarded as unclean, so you were automatically a sinner. Now, how they got their mind around this, I'm not really sure, because if you read through the Old Testament, the Jews regarded God as a shepherd, Moses was a shepherd, the kings were regarded as shepherds, and yet the actual shepherd himself was regarded as a sinner, unclean. And in those days, if you went past a shepherd, you'd notice with your nose they were unclean anyway. But that's all right. So, shepherds were revered and regarded with contempt at the same time. But he goes a wee bit further even than this. You see, he starts off. So he told them this parable. Now, remember, he's talking to the Pharisees as well. And he says to them, which one of you, having 100 Pharisees as shepherds of sheep? He's really stirring trouble there, because he's implying that they might even be unclean. Okay. And you know the story pretty well. 100 sheep in the wilderness, and the shepherd loses one. He's responsible. So it says he takes off to look for the lost sheep. Now, you've got to remember, they're in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, you find things like lions, bears, bandits. And those have all one thing in common. they like a nice lamb chop. So they're in a dangerous position, and he heads into more danger. Now, when you look at the sheep here in New Zealand, you get totally the wrong idea of what it was like. Because there was a breed of sheep they used in those days called a shofar. And that particular breed of sheep had certain characteristics to survive. And one of them was that if the sheep got stressed or upset or frightened, it would simply flop down and stay still and stay quiet. So we'll assume that this sheep who's been lost has just flopped down, staying still, not doing anything. Sounds like people. Okay, so the shepherd comes and he actually finds his sheep that he lost. Now, how many people here have ever looked after sheep? I know Stu is a gentleman farmer. I'll come back to him in a moment. Just wait for it, Stu. How many of you have actually picked up a reasonable-sized sheep and put them on your shoulders and carried it? Oh, one or two of you have. It's hard work. Now, the shepherd finds his lost sheep and rejoices, knowing that he's got this hopeless sheep who's not going to get up and walk. He's got to pick it up, put it on his shoulder, and carry it all the way home. You know pretty much all that anyway. And it says he left the rest of the flock in the wilderness. Doesn't that sound a bit irresponsible? Ever thought about it much? 99 left there. And he takes off after one. So he leaves the rest of them there to the bears and the wolves and the lions and the bandits. We need to think back to the first century. Now, I can remember when I was living in the Himalayas, our village was about 100 metres up from the little village we were living above, and one of my friends, a man named Mushtaq, came rushing up one day and said, "Look, my neighbour has just bought a flock of sheep." And being a Kiwi, you're supposed to know all about sheep, so I had to go down and admire. So I went down to admire this flock of sheep, both of them. It taught me something. See, in the first century, if you were running a flock of sheep, the average size flock was somewhere between about 7 and 15 sheep. Okay? So for every, say, roughly dozen sheep, you had a shepherd. So if you've got a flock of 100, you've got about 8, maybe 9 shepherds. So actually it wasn't irresponsible. People who were listening to Jesus would know automatically that when he took off after the lost one, the other 8 or 9 shepherds would take the rest home. And when they get back, the whole village celebrates. Why is that? Well, if the average person, say, will say about 10 sheep, and they've got 100 there, it's probable that there were about 10 flocks from the one village that were put together to take out to graze in the wilderness. You've got to remember, no fences, And you've got to look after them so they don't go and eat the neighbour's crop. So the one sheep that was lost and restored would have been the whole village property. And that's one thing, you know, it's really important, is celebration. Right. One of the nasty things, I think, relating it back to here, is that we often get fed in the wilderness, don't we? Last year, I hardly ever came to church. I did have a good reason, though. I had a cancer operation and then was loaded down with chemicals for most of the year. And that was sort of a wilderness-type experience. But people came and looked after me. From the church, medical of course, from the community. I was tended in the wilderness and I had to learn. And the more I get to know God, the more of a sense of humour I find. Because some of you will know that I actually enjoy going out and praying for people and praying for healing. And because I wasn't going out of the house much, I didn't want anybody else's bugs. I was being protective. God started to send people in for prayer to me. I hate to say it, but there was not one church person came in for prayer. They were all from the community. And one of them came to Christ through that, which reminded me of the shepherd going after the lost sheep. And even more awkward, God can be a real pain at times. We weren't going out to house group. In fact, the house group had sort of disbanded. And God organised one to come in. I don't know. He wouldn't let me go. Which is really nice. But can be interesting. Now, if I stayed totally serious, I think people would think I was sick. So I thought I would see if you were awake and see if you know some of these sheepy jokes. Okay, tell me, what is a sheep covered in chocolate? Close, a chocolate bar. You should be able to get that. How do sheep greet each other at Christmas? Merry Christmas to you. How many sheep does it take to knit a sweater? No? I like it. And what do you call a sheep that's always quiet? Sheep. Okay. We've got to have a religious one too. This is about a sheep farmer who was very, very religious, and wherever he went, he carried his Bible with him in his pocket, little edition. And he was out fixing the fences one day and got back home and found he'd lost his Bible. So, of course, being religious, he prayed. And the next day, a sheep came through the gate with the Bible in its mouth and gave it to him. He looked heavenwards and said, "Oh, this is a miracle." And the sheep said, "Don't be silly. Your name was in the front." Now let's jump into where Jesus and Peter are having this discussion. You all know the story of Peter, where he'd denied Christ three times. And then Jesus, three times, reinstates him. But what you may not realize is that there was a Jewish idiom in the first century, so that a three repeat gives it special emphasis. So when Jesus asked Peter three times whether he loves him, it means also, "Have you ever loved me?" That's the way the idiom goes. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus, a second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt, because here's the three repeat. Said to him, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So, feed the lambs, tend the sheep, and feed the sheep. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is passing over to Peter to be the shepherd. He is getting the responsibility. Now, do you really think that Peter was going to have to look after everybody? Having been a vicar and thought about the expectations that people load upon a vicar. You don't accept them, but they load them on anyway. Who is our shepherd at St. Matt's? Stu is shepherd in charge. Who else is shepherd at St. Matt's? Put your hand up if you're a shepherd. I take it the rest of you are sheep. I like that. Last year, I was being tended mainly. This year, I'm doing a bit of tending. Last year, I was being fed. This year, I'm helping others feed. You see, at times we're all sheep. Now, sheep aren't stupid, by the way. They're actually quite intelligent. Except when they're very small. If you ever tried to lead or drive a group of lambs that have just been weaned, you can't get anything worse. You might have guessed I did work on a farm for a while. So at times we're sheep, and at other times were shepherds. There is no age restriction on either. Have you ever stopped one day and listened to somebody? I know you wouldn't do this, but in your brain you're thinking, I've got stuff to do, I don't want it, and you just do it anyway. Ever done that? If you're not, that's being a shepherd. That's looking after others. How many people have ever rung somebody up on the telephone and said, how are you today? Anybody ever done that? Oh, one or two. That's being a shepherd. I can remember going through a supermarket line one day. I was by myself and there weren't many people around. And there was this young girl checkout. And you know how they look at you and smile because it's all patter, and said, how are you today? And I said, I'm lousy. And there was a dead silence and everything seemed to stop. And it was, oh. She wasn't quite sure what to do. And she said, what's wrong? Which was very brave. And I said, I've actually just buried my best mate about an hour ago. And that led to a fantastic discussion. The young girl in the supermarket listened and tended to me. But the only reason she could do it was because I actually told the truth. What's the normal response? I'm fine, thank you. Yeah. To be shepherded, you need to open out and let people know. I can remember as a vicar being told off several times for not visiting people in hospital. The fact that nobody ever told me didn't matter. But we are all sheep, according to the parable, and we are all shepherds. That's part of being family here at St. Matt's. So just by being here and being part of the family, some of you today will need tending. Others will need a good kick so that you go and feed. And others will be listening in a shepherding role. So we better finish by praying. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we are part of your family here at St. Matt's. Whether at the moment we've had a lousy week and we need to be tended, or whether we've had a great week and we're the ones who are listening and tending. Lord, be in our conversations. Let your Spirit guide and direct our listening, our talking, all to your glory. The building of relationships and the building of your kingdom right here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.